I see clients who are sort of like always chasing the big next shiny prize. And I'm like, bro, you haven't even sorted this one right now. Let's get this sorted first. Let's make sure this is viable, this works. Maybe it doesn't work, but we have to tie ourselves to the process first.
Welcome back to the Branding Laboratory. I'm Devo, your host, where I bring leaders and creators and founders into the lab to examine their story, their clarity, their message, and how they're showing up in the world. And I see this podcast as more than just a conversation. It's sort of an experiment. I'm going to explore the crossroads of identity, storytelling, brand expression, and how my guest fits into that. What does their ecosystem believe about all of this? And every episode is going to uncover something real, something useful, and something that can actually move your work forward, your life forward, because I do truly believe that we exist at the intersection of personal development and our professional alignment and the gift that we have and how we are serving the world. And that's what this podcast is going to uncover in the lab. Thank you for joining me.
Today I'm sitting with Lydia Axchmel. And on paper, which is where I first met her through LinkedIn, she works with solopreneurs, entrepreneurs to help them go from a concept of zero to one is what she calls it. So we're going to learn what that is. But really what she's doing, from what I can tell, at least following her, she's teaching them how to get their initial first clients, how to grow from that, how to avoid imposter syndrome, how to really dive into the space of selling without selling and sounding like you're slick and slimy. So we're going to introduce her now and bring her into the show. Lydia, I'm really excited to be here. I've had a couple of conversations with you over social. We met on your show. I love your insights. I love the perspective that you bring to the table. And I thought it'd be really cool to have you on the laboratory to share you with my audience. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I'm super excited to share what I have to share.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about you and sort of how you got started into this space. I read in your onboarding that you did for me, you said that solopreneurship or entrepreneurship, I forget which one you use, either makes you or breaks you. What did becoming an entrepreneur make or break you? It obviously made you. So what was it that it made you becoming an entrepreneur?
Definitely understanding myself better. I had a really interesting discussion the other day on the podcast. I had a guest. He's an author, Dr. Doug. He's the author of the book Driven. And he talks about this small percentage of people who are wolves versus sheep, who are hunters versus farmers. And I think entrepreneurship made me realize I am the wolf, not the sheep. I'm the hunter, not the farmer. And it's not because I'm better. It's just who I am. And unless I stay true to that, if I try myself now, if I make myself do what is not true to me, it's just, you know, it's just very evident to me. So I discovered, you know, what lights me up, and I just can't do it anymore. So I became kind of immune to things that they just not doesn't fit me.
I saw you've walked the Camino de Santiago, is that 4 times? Is that right? Wow, that's impressive. I spend a lot of time in the mountains and hiking, and I'm alone by myself and in that regard as well. And I noticed that in those periods, there's a lot of deep introspective things that come up, and you're able to sort of, when you don't have distractions, whether it's your phone or people or whatever, right? You have this ability to sort of detach from everything and just kind of be with yourself. So I want to know, at the crux of all of this, what did you learn about yourself in these 4 treks?
I realized that I do need a challenge. That's where I realized this daring value is somewhere very high on the top. I need to have some sort of a mission. I need to have, and that mission need to feel like a challenge that needs to feel scary. And I need to know that I'm doing something outside my comfort zone that energizes me. I need to push myself. Whenever I get too comfortable, I need to get out of that place. I'm not going to work kind of in a comfortable place. I will always move on to a new project because it excites me, it scares me. It, kind of accepting. I think it was more about accepting.
I appreciate that perspective of sort of always pushing yourself. But there's also a very fine, precarious line between pushing yourself and remaining mindful in the moment where you are. What's that fine line for you? Because if you're constantly just shifting and chasing squirrels, and I'm not suggesting that you are, but this is something that I encounter a lot of times in my coaching business. I see clients who are sort of like always chasing the big next shiny prize. And I'm like, bro, you haven't even sorted this one right now. Let's get this sorted first. Let's make sure that this is viable, this works. Maybe it doesn't work, but we have to tie ourselves to the process first. At what point does process and being mindful of where you are become a distraction and you end up chasing squirrels? Like, what would you say to one of your clients when they're chasing the shiny object? Like, what would you say? Like, how do you reverse that and interpolate that back to them?
What I did for me and what I'm helping my clients who have the same problem is you need to design. The beauty of being a solopreneur entrepreneur is you get to design your business. It doesn't have to be the same. Shorter projects, shorter sprints. Like I tried to create a community, the membership where every month you have to deliver a certain number of content. I burned out in 6 months. And I understand it's just not the model is going to work for me. Short sprints on the opposite, I thrive on them because I can show you very high energy. I can give you so much in a short period of time. But then I need to
Got it.
switch off. I need something else.
What I hear you saying there is you have the ability to sort of understand your zone of genius, almost meeting yourself where you are and focusing on those strengths. And sort of, so when you start to make a shift, it's not necessarily that you're making a shift per se. It's that you know that your zone of genius, your attention span, if you will, is on short sprints of mad genius for short amounts of time, and then it's time to move into the next area.
Absolutely. My number one, when we do the strategy call, I always start with the weaknesses and the strengths. And I say, let's build business on your strengths, on who you are and what your strengths. Let's not try to fix every single weakness that you have.
I agree with that. You don't have to fix everything, but it does behoove us, this is my perspective, it does behoove us to clearly understand what those weaknesses are so that we have some sort of articulation and perspective on how they're going to shape our current narrative. Agree or disagree?
100%, absolutely agree. That's why we name them.
Got
That's
it.
why we don't push them under the rug.
Got it.
No, we name them. And then we say, okay, if these ones are really important, then how do we deal with them? Maybe you hire someone to help you. Maybe you automate things, create a system where it can support you.
I've heard you say, whether it's on social media or maybe it was in a conversation you and I had the first time we met, that your zone of genius or your genius is being vulnerable. And you talk a lot about being vulnerable. You share your mistakes, you share your insights, you sort of share your failures, and you do this on LinkedIn primarily, but you also have shared a few things with me. Why should entrepreneurs or anyone in general be so vulnerable and honest about who they are? What does that do for their business? What does that do for their connections? Tell me a little bit about that, your
Right.
perspective.
It's important to me because I feel throughout the last 10 years, as I've been an entrepreneur, every time I was vulnerable, I shared what I've been going through. It always created a huge wave of positive effect to my business. I attracted the right clients. I attracted clients. Everything seems easy. It creates the connection with them.
I view running a business very similar to how I would run my family, how I would treat my friends, how I show up in relationship. And part of in being in that space is being vulnerable, because what that does is it removes a barrier between you and I. So if you and I were to be in a room locked in and we started sharing stories with each other and telling our cold, hard truths, our vulnerabilities, our passions, our dreams, what that does is it starts to create like an umbilical cord between us, an emotional connection of commonality or of alignment, of resonance. And so I love that you said that. And I'm curious, when people experience Lydia and they get a sample of you, what is it that you want them to walk away with?
Well, the feedback that I've heard is like they get the light, they get the excitement, they get the energy and a little bit of courage to do something.
Does that align with what you want them to believe?
I think. I want them to make the small step toward their dreams, their goals.
What do you want them to feel emotionally after experiencing some Lydia?
That they can do it too.
It's the courage.
It's the
It's
courage.
the strength.
It's turning the fear into excitement, flipping the story that, oh, I'm so worried into, oh, I'm so excited. The body experience is very similar when we feel anxiety
Oh,
and
yeah.
the excitement. Hormones are very similar. It's the story. I just want them to change the story into, I can do this now.
Yeah. You're speaking neurologically of this sort of fight or flight concept, and it is the same process. It's just how we process it differently, and it goes into different limbic systems of the brain.
There is one study. They told students who were about to do the test, they say, oh, I'm stressed. And they were half of students were to told that stress is good because you're going to be stress make you vision sharper, thinking faster. So it's good that you feel stressed. It's just, stress is good. And then the other half, they would tell, stress is bad for you. You're going to be distracted. You're going to, obviously the ones who thought that stress is good for them, they did better at the exam. So a lot of things, how we experience life, depend on the stories we tell ourselves.
The meaning that we give to the stress. Yes.
Yes.
I'd like to make that distinction because we're not saying that you should live in this pervasive anxiety and stress. We're saying that when stress appears, when situations occur that require you to sort of step into a different element of yourself, it's the meaning that we give to that, whether it's shame, whether it's guilt, whether it's we're not good enough, whether it's imposter syndrome, whether it's not
Right.
being vulnerable, whether it's being dishonest, whatever it is, that's what sort of causes that anxiety to sort of spiral and then become unhealthy for us, correct?
Correct. We're saying like, oh, I'm stressed, so it means like I'm not ready. I need to first
Yeah.
whatever. And then we have 100 things that I need to first, and we never act on the things.
I wrote a blog about that last or earlier this week on this whole idea of perfectionism, and this yeah, and so this whole and I'm really inspired by it because I meet people all the time, and I'm working with somebody right now who is just uber talented, and they have this belief about themselves that like why would anybody want to listen to me, like what's imposter syndrome, and then when I do put something out there, I delete it over and over and over, and then I redo it, and then finally I just like give up and I walk away from it, and it's a real thing. Like it's a real struggle, especially as
Oh, yeah.
entrepreneurs. And it's been compounded by social media because we see all these people doing great things. And I'm like, you know that like 95% of the stuff that you see on there is not even real. It's just somebody like posturing. It's the fake it till you make it, if you will. So anyhow, if you had one final message to deliver to the planet, and this is before the mothership takes you away, you have one final message that everyone's going to hear and everyone's going to receive and everyone's going to do something with. What's that final message?
I think find out who you are. And I hesitated answering you because I still, it's a lifelong journey. Finding out who you are, it's a lifelong journey. So just get on that journey and do things that will help you discover who you are. But these things are not going to be easy. Going on the Santiago, Camino de Santiago, starting my first business, starting my second business, changing from one niche to another because I was like, well, it feels like I need to try something else. And with everything, one of the goals, not the only one, but one of the goals is like, well, it should help me understand who I am better.
Well, here's my shameless plug, and I'm gonna sell to you. That's what I do. So when you're ready to figure out who you are, you know where to go, I hope. I
Yes.
take you through a very, it's a 3 to 6 week intensive where we really dive into the psychology, the pathology, the human design, the elements of what makes Lydia Lydia, how you show up in the world, what do you believe, what are your values, how do you share those values in your own unique way, and what are your shadows? Like, what are the things that could be holding you
Yeah.
back? What are the things that are inhibiting you from becoming the best version of yourselves?
Thank you. And you
Hey,
see, that wasn't salesy or sleazy. That was That was kind of obvious.
Oh, I'm good at what I
And
do,
yeah,
trust
but
me.
I just want people hearing, hear that selling is not scary and selling can be easy when you really believe
100%.
that is going to help the person in front of you. Holding it back, not selling becomes a
Yeah.
sin. Not selling becomes kind of a problem.
Do you know what I think is the single biggest distinction between selling and actually adding value? Is listening. Is the ability to listen to what your
Yeah.
client is saying. My grandfather used to smack me in the back of the head, and he was like, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason, Devi. And I'm like, oh, okay. So talk less, listen more.
Bless you, me. I do love to talk, but you're right. You're not shoving something that people don't need down their throat. Oh,
Yeah.
that's terrible selling. You're offering them something. You just heard them saying they have this problem and you have something that's going to help them solve this problem. Why
Absolutely.
not tell them about it?
And if you listen and actually listen to what people are saying instead of thinking about your next response while they're still talking, you're able to sort of understand what their problems are, what their pains are, what their pleasures are, what are the things that they believe in. And when you hear those things, you're going to be like, hey, you know what, Lydia? I hear you say that you think it's the single most important aspect of knowing who you are, but you struggled with that question, girlfriend. So maybe you and I should have a conversation about this. Because I truly believe, like, and this is where I'm going to close. And I'm assuming you feel the same way because you are a coach. If you're coaching people, first of all, you need a coach as well. You need some sort of
Oh, yeah.
mentors. You need peers. You need accountability partners.
I don't trust coaches who say I don't need a coach or I don't need a mentor. Like, I don't trust those people because
100%.
they're trying to tell me that I need one, but they don't.
100%. If you are interested in becoming an entrepreneur and you're sort of still sitting in the corporate space or doing something else, and you were inspired by what Lydia had to say, and you just, and I'm going to tell you, it is a precarious path. And I believe it's something like 80% of people who start a business fail. I think that's the number. It might even be higher now. That doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means that you do need some guidance. You do need some structure. You do need some accountability. You should surround yourself with whether it's a coach or it's a peer or a mastermind or a group of people that can help you build
Or all
some
of the above.
or all of the above, something that can help you build something that is sustainable and can add value to the world. And having somebody walk alongside you, especially in the early stages like Lydia, is an imperative and critical step to building your business. Otherwise, you're throwing spaghetti noodles at the wall like I did in my first two businesses because I didn't do that. And
I did.
my first two businesses flopped miserably. And I just was thinking, well, fuck, I can't be an entrepreneur. What the hell? And I'm like, and it wasn't until I started like surrounding myself with other people and then like building structure into the place and taking the lessons of the failure and how can I pivot? How can I? Anyway, I'm rambling. Lydia, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Brand Laboratory. It was a really cool conversation. That's the whole point of this podcast, people, is to bring people like Lydia onto the show. I want to get inside her head. I want to hear about the things that make her tick, the things that she's passionate about, her journey, her story. And if there's something that you can take away from this, reach out to her and hit her up. Let her know. She can help you. All right. How can people find you? What's the best way? LinkedIn is how I found you. Is that?
Yeah, I'm pretty much every day on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
GetItDoneCoaching.com is my website. Sign up for a Thriving Coach Sunday. It's my weekly newsletter. Or just DM me. I'm yet very approachable.
Yeah.
And I love talking to people, because that's where conversation starts. That's where relationship starts. Yeah.
It's all about community. All right. Lydia, thank you for being here. If anything in this show resonated with you, listeners, and I appreciate you being here, I know you have choices when it comes to podcasts. Lydia provided a lot of value today. Thank you for letting me interrupt you. I know I had 55 minutes, so I wanted to make sure I got all the things in. But if this show resonated with you, please like it, comment below, reach out to Lydia. All of her information is going to be below in the comments. I found her on LinkedIn. She is very approachable. She's not just blowing gas at me. I reached out to her and said, hey, I just love what you had to say. I'd love to have you on the show. And she got back to me within minutes. And so, thank you for that, first of all. Anyway, if you like the show, share it with other people. Lydia, thank you for being here halfway across the world. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I look forward to staying connected with you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really enjoyed and came out with a couple of questions that I need to answer for myself.
No need to answer them with me. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon.